I'm going to go a little bit different route this morning. Not going to try to teach anything about the Bible. I'm going to go with while we sing the songs that we sing here. As soon as I get myself together, I will. I don't know if any of you remember, but a few years ago, I did something like this and came up with how many things that God did that included sevens. And the miracles he did was seven. But he used that number all through the Old Testament, from the priest and the cleansing and so forth. They'd dip their, sprinkle the blood seven times, and I think the leopard was healed by dipping himself seven times in the water. So that's what I mean by the things he did was seven. And the songs are all written with seven notes. Every song in the world that's ever been written is written with seven notes. And that's just a fascinating connection. And I think it shows that God's involved in our music, behind the music, and part of it. And you say these songs there that he doesn't want anything to do with, bad songs, filthy songs, there is. But he allows bad things. The Bible says that all good things come from the Lord, but he does allow some other things to happen. So probably he allows these other songs to be written for a reason we don't know. So that's about where I want to go with that. I think he inspires the songs, and the way he does it is different too. I don't know about that, but I'm going to get a little bit of information on all this. I have no idea whether it's right or wrong. Does not matter. It's the idea that counts. But in here, there was the way they wrote a song at starts out to Joseph scribing of Asked Sharon three times how to pronounce the name. Still messed up, but I think it's scribing. Doesn't matter. But he was born in a wealthy family in Dublin. Attended college at Trinity. And graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree. And if anybody, I'm just skipping through it, but if anybody wants to read the whole story, the book's available. And tells about his disappointments and so forth. And he was to be married. And the day before the wedding, his fiancée was thrown from a horse. And died. Let's see, maybe I'll just start reading this. With his education behind him and a long, happy life ahead, Joseph Starvin decided to wed his sweetheart. But the night before their wedding, tragedy struck. extravagant family would throw from a horse that she was riding into a river and drowned. Overcome with grief and disappointment and introspective, and withdrew from his friends and his family. He made the decision to leave his religious tradition of his parents in favor of those of the Plymouth Pilgrims. In connection with that, he decided to determine to leave his homeland and migrate to Canada at the age of 25. With the move, Scriven refocused his life to concentrate on living the lifestyle described by Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. He became a servant of the underprivileged, assisting the handicapped, the poverty-stricken, the ill, and the imprisoned. He cut and hauled wood for the destitute families so that they might survive the frigid winters of Ontario. It says, although he was respected by the townspeople for his deeds of mercy, he was viewed as an eccentric and was not integrated into their fellowship. And he met another young girl and planned to get married, and she died with pneumonia. It says here that his favorite hymn was about the unfailing friendship of Jesus, which was written by a man who had few close friends on earth. He had experienced the sorrow and grief of loneliness, and he had poured out his life in service to others without thought to repayment of any kind. In fact, it was said that Joseph Stravern, that he would only work for those that could not pay. So he worked for nothing, and still the people of the town wouldn't accept him. And it says, as soon as his second fiancée was killed at the same time, Stravern received news that his mother back in Dublin was seriously ill. And he didn't have the funds to finance the trip. So he wrote three verses of a poem and entitled it, Pray Without Ceasing. And sent this to his mother, hoping they would lift her spirits. Sometime later, when Skirving himself was confined to the bed with illness, a neighbor stopped in to see him. As they talked, the friend saw a paper at the side of the bed with the word Skirving's poem scrawled on it. After reading the poem, the man inquired of Skirving who had written it, and he said, "The Lord and I did it together." Okay. And this neighbor got permission from him to publish it, and it was published in a collection called Hymns and Other Verses. And later, Charles Converse, a well-known composer of that day, wrote a melody for the verses that Skirving had penned. The hymn was then retitled What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So this man had no friends. Well, I've got to settle down. He had no friends, and he wasn't accepted by the townspeople, but he still wrote, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Now, I don't know if God used all this loneliness for having the song written, but he inspired him to do it in some way. Okay. And I just caught my eye mainly because I was saying that it was first titled, pray without ceasing, which we hear quite a bit, but they changed the name. And go back over here a ways. There's another one that Adelaine Pollard wrote a song, and it was called Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And I'll start here in the middle of this. It said to Adelaine, now, she had disappointment. She was a teacher and had experience, and her dreams was to go to Africa and teach God's word to the people underprivileged that hadn't heard it. Her financing fell through and she didn't get to go. And it says, now 40 years old and still single, it seemed to be the final blow in a lifelong string of disappointments. She had gifts of teaching and writing, but had been unable to use them in the way that she most desired. She had great dreams and ideas of ministering entirely for the Lord, yet her body was plagued with weakness caused by diabetes. So even though she was wanting to do what she thought was the right thing, she still didn't get to go. I've been despaired of every accomplishment, some things fulfilled and painful. It was at this time that she decided to attend a prayer meeting and found herself sitting beside a frail elderly woman whom she had never seen before. His prayers were offered and requests were made for blessings, directions, and other gifts from the Lord. Adelaine sat in silence, unable to utter a prayer from her aching heart. It was then that the woman next to her offered a simple sentence that was to give Adelaine new hope. She said, it really does not matter just what you do with us, Lord. Have your own way with our lives. Okay. These words burn into Adelaide's mind. Suddenly she realized her whole life had been spent pursuing her own goals, doing what she wanted to do for the Lord and taking a little time to seek what he might have her do. And so after she walked home from the prayer meeting that night, her steps had a wonderful new lighting. Adelaine saw herself as the defective pot needing to be broken and reformed by the master's potter, all this will. And as she meditated upon the thoughts, the words of the poem began to form in her mind. Before she went to bed that night, she had composed all four verses of Have Thine Own Way, Lord. So, another disappointment. It was just the lady sitting next to her said the words, but they stayed with her. So God used this to get the song Have Thine Own Way written. That's the way I see it. This whole book is full of stories about some songs. If anybody wants to read it, I'll let it out. Of course, we know Have Thine Own Way, Lord. We sang it and so forth. And we do that. If we go back over to here, and let's go back to What a Friend We Have in Jesus, because that's a good one. I've heard before that, well, I said while we sing the songs that we do, somebody made a comment that there's a sermon in every song. I think there is in ours. But turn to page 161 in the songbook, or the If there's a sermon in every song, you can even call this a Bible too. So we will. Let's just read what a friend we have in Jesus. And we'll see. But it starts out, what a friend we have in Jesus. We've all heard that from the pulpit. So there's one sermon. All our sins and griefs to bear. That's another sermon. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You've heard all that from the pulpit. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. These five sermons in the first verse that has been preached. It's not that you might. When you read through that, every one of those you've heard has been preached right here. So when we sing our songs and the songs that we sing, if we sing three songs here, before the preacher ever gets to the pulpit, we've already heard at least three or four messages before he ever preaches. We've heard it. So we do that. And it's the same with Have Thine Own Way and other songs. I'm going to have more time than I have thoughts this morning, but we'll see. We do that. Now, we go to a golf Dulcimer Club a lot, and we play the songs, and we'll ask for we're supposed to just sit around the circle. One club will be 40, 50 people sometimes, and they just sit in a circle, and you go around each one to pick a song, and if you know what, you play it with them. If you don't, you listen. That's the way it is. But when we pick a gospel song, nobody knows it. It just, nobody knows it. And the one club here in Dayton, and we go to three clubs occasionally, not every time, they'll pick three songs that they'll play thinking they're playing gospel music, and to them it's gospel music. But they'll play When the Circle Be Unbroken, I Saw the Light, and When the Saints Go Marching In. That'll be the three that they pick. Now, we go to a club in Michigan, Indiana, and they will play What a Friend We Have in Jesus and Sweet By and By and Leaning on the Everlasting Arm, and they'll play some. But still, the first three is this, name them there. But we can go over there and pick a song, and there will be half a dozen people that can play it with us. And Dayton, we can't. We just can't. So we don't even try. But anyway, as we read these, and Hank Williams was a good songwriter. He was a simple songwriter, and his songs are still here. They're different, but I won't discredit him at all. He was pretty good. But when you read this song, I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin, I couldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. He's leaving it all up. It's all his. God didn't do anything. He did it. The chorus is, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Now, being a Christian, life is different. And a lot better life than the other, that's for sure. But nobody's had a perfect life since the Lord saved you. You still have darkness. We still have sorrow. And it's still with us. So that's wrong too. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone, wearied in tears, I came for my own. Then like the blind man, God gave back his sight. That's the only time in that song that he mentions God doing anything. And that's, well, it doesn't tie in. But anyway, there's not much in there that the preacher can preach on. Maybe give him back the sight. That's it. But it's just amazing how many people think that's a gospel song. And when the saints go marching in, that one really killed me. We had a bad experience that one a few years ago, but they were playing it, and one of the ladies got up and started dancing. She was about 150 pounds overweight, and she started dancing around in the group while they were playing this song, and it really got to me. But we left. I just quit playing, got up and left, and it caused some hard feelings with some of the others, but it was disgusting. And then she took a guy's hat off and started passing her in front of everybody to collect money. And it just been 5 years and it still wipes me out. But they were playing a gospel song and never thought she was dancing. But they still, not much in there that the preacher can preach about. And the song is about someone else. I'm just a worried pilgrim traveling through this world of sin, getting ready for that morning when the saints go marching in. They're waiting on this party to happen. That's all they're waiting on. Because someday they're going to go marching in. If you get in a group, you can go with them. That's kind of the way I see this. Hopefully I'm wrong, but that's what I see. And the chorus is the same. Dear Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. My father loved the Savior. What a soldier he has been. But his steps will be more steady when the saints go marching in. If her father was saved and a Christian, that's fine for him, but it didn't do anything for the writer. So that's something else too. My mother, may God bless her. I can see her now and then. I don't think we can see people that's up there. I don't know, with a robe of white around her when the saints go marching in, but it's all the same. It's about somebody else. Maybe her mother was saved and there. Up there I will see my Savior who redeemed my soul from sin with extended arms to greet me when the saints go marching in. I don't see anything in there that the preacher can preach on. He's not in here, but he's just, I don't see the sermon in it. Let's turn to page 319. I don't know if we do this or not, but in the Blue Bible. just compare just as I am to I saw the light. You start out reading, it says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's a little different than I was so aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Well, here it just kind of humbles itself in. This is more like, I saw the light, okay, let's go. Just as I am is more humbling. It surrenders and it's willing to do God's will. And just as I am. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I'm getting confused. And that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. He's a little bit different. Well, anyway, that's why we sing this song, and not I Saw the Light. But the songs are just different. Sweet Hour of Prayer on 437. Let's try that. I just picked a half a dozen songs here. You can take any of them, that we sing, and read them word for word, and you can get something out of them. 437, sorry. But Sweet Hour of Prayer is about someone praying for an hour. It's something we ought to do, but it takes a lot of time. I guess we just value our time more. But if we did that, it would really be good. But that calls me from a world of care, so they escape this world for an hour, and bids me at my Father's throne, makes all my want and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and escapes the tempter's stare by thy return, Sweet Hour of Prayer. So they're talking about their experience in this prayer an hour long. So that's a good song too. But Leaning on the Everlasting Arm on 459. Of course, the title of that one tells you it. But and it says, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the Everlasting Arm. We're showing God our thankfulness, I guess, that He's there. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind that says it for itself, just to know that He's there for us to lean on. That's what that says. Do that. Okay, I was trying to compare them, and the Circle Be Unbroken, it's got a nice melody and it's a nice song, and everybody knows it and everybody sings it, but there's not much in it either. There are loved ones now in glory whose dear faces we often miss. When you choose your earthly story, will you join them in bliss? says when you close your earthly story. The next verse is, oh, the joyous day of childhood, often they tell of wondrous love, telling of the dying Savior, how they dwell with Him above. Doesn't say nothing about Him dying or that that's how they got up there, just that they're up there with Him. Doesn't really give anything. You remember the songs of heaven, which they sang with childish voice. Do you love the hymns they taught you and make heaven at last your choice? Here again, it's back to when the saints go marching in. If you get in the group, you're on your way. That's the way I say it. That's the way it's written to me, anyway. You remember happy greetings from the far side long ago, and you think of tearful portions when they left you here below. But the song is pretty much, there's still nothing in there that the preacher can preach about. So we'll stop on that. I don't want to run those songs in the ground because they've been here for years and do like them. Now turn in your Bibles, this Bible, to Acts 1. And verse 13. And when they were, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son, Simon, Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James.